I don't know if you are, but I'm glad I came. Praise God. It was worth the drive. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. We're going to kind of keep building upon what we talked a little bit, not do too much review. Talked about on Saturday, and actually we'll be doing even further building upon it on this coming Saturday, but this is kind of an offshoot of what we talked about Saturday. But Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. So we're going to start. Praise God. Don't ever let the word become mundane to you, or just repetitive, or just what you know, just any old thing. It's your help. Praise God. It's your help. Father, help us tonight. We need you. Father, I've done my best to prepare how I know how to, and to set myself aside for you. But Lord, we need you tonight. We're not here for man's plans or man's ideas or man's words or thoughts or wisdom or philosophies, opinions, or theories. We want heaven tonight. So Father, speak through me. Lord, we see in the Word that this is how you deliver your messages to people. This is how you bring people their answers and their help. Father, it's a joy to be a vessel. It's a joy to be the mailman, so to speak, of your blessings tonight. But Father, you're the sender of good things. So Lord, speak through me tonight. May my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And I mean that. Father, may I speak as the oracles of God, speaking words in season, hitting bullseyes in people's hearts. Lord, the best way I can say it is the way that the psalmist of old said, may my tongue be like the pen of a ready writer. Lord, whatever you want to say, may my tongue say it right when it needs to be said, speaking words from heaven with boldness, with utterance, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing tonight. Father, that's what we need, the anointing. And Father, you're the vine. We're just branches. Apart from you, we can do nothing. But Lord, we know it is your will. It is your plan to help us tonight. Father, we didn't come out to waste time. We didn't show up here just to play church, Father. Us coming here tonight doesn't change you. Doesn't change how you feel about us. But coming here tonight in the way that we approach this message will change us. So Father, we're hungry. And we thank you for what we're about to receive. Father, the reason we would be willing to come out on a Tuesday night is because we expect something to happen tonight. We expect something to come into our lives to change us. So thank you for doing your part, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And on Saturday night and Sunday morning, I preached along the same lines in South Dayton. We really stress the fact that God's mercy, His blessings, His goodness, they need an avenue, they need a pipeline, they need a roadway to get to you, don't they? And the way they get to you is through faith. And we said that, I said this, I don't know of any better place in the Bible. You know, there's lots of different places that show us that, that prove that point, that bring out that illustration that it takes faith to receive. But man, that woman that had the daughter that was grievously vexed of a devil, and how she wasn't receiving until she got into faith, even though Jesus loved her, even though Jesus loved her daughter, even though Jesus was touched with compassion for her and had sympathy and wanted her blessed. Heaven didn't move towards her until she changed her approach, praise God. And her approach was faith. And what happened was, when she got into faith, she laid that pipeline. She laid that avenue for God to flow that grace and the mercy. The same way, His salvation, God looks upon mankind and He sees people dying and going to hell, and yet salvation is provided for them, and He wants nobody to go to hell. The Bible says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But how many of you know salvation flows through faith? You know, I didn't get saved when I was at Fredonia State, you know, and I was in the bars and putting things in my body and doing things in my life that I shouldn't have, even though God wanted me saved. It wasn't until I got into faith that salvation came to me and I received it. Praise God. Well, that's how healing's coming to you. That's how your turnaround's coming to you. That's how deliverance is coming. That's how prosperity's coming to you. And in Romans 12 and verse 3, the Bible says that you've been given a measure of faith. It says that every man has been given a measure of faith. And we've talked about the fact that the Word says that if we would just have faith, the size. Well, when you think about measurements, you're thinking about sizes, right? Well, He said He's given you a measure of faith. Well, the Bible says, so we don't know Did God give us a large measure of faith? Did God give us a small measure of faith? Well, it doesn't matter what size measure he gave, because faith can move mountains. And Jesus said if you just would have faith the size or the measure of a mustard seed, you could tell that mountain to go and it'll go. Praise God. So he said we have faith. And even if we only have a little faith, we have enough faith to move mountains. Praise God. That's what faith can do. Hallelujah. But I want to go to Luke 8:22 with that in mind, that it takes faith to receive and that you have faith. So praise God, you are in a position to receive. Amen. No matter what the devil's telling you, no matter what your past has said, no matter what the circumstances say, you are in a position to receive. Why? Faith puts you in that position. Amen. Glory to God. Luke chapter 8 and verse 22. It says this, it says, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm. Now this is what I want to focus on, verse 25. And he said unto them, where is your faith? Now, the Bible said he's given us a measure of faith. So you could say it this way. The disciples had faith on that boat. They had the faith on that boat. What can faith do? Move mountains. Stop storms. Cause money to come. Cause problems to go. Praise God. That's what faith can do. Get rid of those mountains. Hallelujah. And they had it. And I love the question that Jesus asked. He says, where is it? Now, that doesn't mean that they didn't have faith. And he's wondering, there's no faith present. But their faith was in the wrong location. That word faith there in the Hebrew or the Greek, if you look that up, means locality. Where's the locality of faith? He wasn't saying, why don't you have any faith? Because we know we have faith. But he's saying, where is it? Apparently, it wasn't, their faith was not directed or in a place that it should have been. Where is your faith? Where is the locality of your faith? And the area I want to look at tonight, the Lord led me to preach on. Now, you can use this for anything you're facing. But the specific area that I was led to minister on tonight is the area of finances. The area of the supply or the provision that belongs to you in this life. Because we know that every promise of God, everything we receive, you could say it this way, by faith are you saved, or by grace are you saved through your faith. You could say by grace are you healed through your faith. By grace are you delivered through your faith, but also by grace are you provided for. Yeah. But that provision comes through your faith. And so there's a supply to be had, but that supply, that provision that belongs to us in our lives, comes through the avenue of faith. And so when it comes to the area of your finances, the area of your provision, the area of your needs, I want to find out tonight, where is your faith? Where is the location of your faith within that problem, within that storm? If you're not in a financial storm or a storm of unexpected need, or where things have gone south financially and you're in lack, don't worry, that storm will come. Yeah, right. You're always pressed upon in all these different ways. I mean, the many are the afflictions of the righteous, the Bible says. The devil's always, things always going to happen, but faith is always our answer. And so don't tune me out if you're not in that place, because you can apply it to anything in your life. Where's your faith in the trial you're going through? But we need to know where the location of our faith needs to be when it comes to our provision. Because many people, and I'm just telling you this by experience of what I've been in before personally, when I didn't do things the right way, and talking with people and getting a chance to minister to people and spend time with people and have phone calls with people and meet with people in my office or, you know, share text messages with people. A lot of times when people are in their need, in that time of trial, that time of storm financially, their faith is in the wrong place. And remember what I said in the slick text today, if your faith's in the wrong place, struggle will follow. Their faith was in the wrong place. Jesus said, where is it? Because it should be directed towards that storm. It should be directed towards that problem. But your faith evidently is not in the storm. Your faith's more in the waves. Your faith's more in the wind and the water filling up. What's that mean, their faith? Their belief was, this water's taking me under. These waves are taking me under. This wind is causing me to have a problem. And when it comes to faith in our provision and in our supply, many people have the location of their faith in the wrong place. Where is your faith? Well, I don't know where your faith is in the area of your finances, but I'm going to tell you where to put it tonight. Amen. Go to Mark 11:22. Mark 11 and verse 22. My heart breaks for the people that don't show up or that don't catch up on these messages online. And then when the storm comes, they don't know what to do. But you will, praise God. You will, hallelujah. Because remember, this is what's so key about this. Remember in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, For he hath already given unto us things that pertain to life natural and godliness spiritual. But then he says it comes through something. Those blessings come through the knowledge. Right? The people that just wander around thinking that God's going to just dump it out of heaven on them, just overflow them. No. You have a part to play. This is part of the part that you have to play. This is you getting, this is like being in boot camp. Getting the training, getting the answers, getting the tools that you need. So when the storm comes or the storm that you're in, you say, now I'm equipped. Now I know how to fight back. Now I know what to do. Now I know how to respond right. We got to be taught how to respond right. My children have to be taught how to respond right to me. Amen? Not allowed to have attitudes. Not allowed to walk away and talk to me with your back turned to me. Not allowed to, you know, they have to be taught these things. You know, I don't just come down hard on them and how dumb are you. No, they got to be taught respect. They got to be taught honor. They got to be taught how to respond right. Well, as children of God, we got to be taught right how to respond in the storms. Because Jesus, what did he rebuke? He rebuked their response. Because the response is the spotlight or the evidence of where you're at in your belief. Just like that woman. Oh, Jesus, help me. Oh, Jesus, help me. Her response showed, you're not in faith. But then she changed her outwardness or her response. And Jesus said, by her response, I know your response is in faith. So we got to be taught these things. But in Mark 11:22, it says, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in. He's telling you where to put your faith. It seems so simple, I know, but you wouldn't believe how wrong or out of order people get this when it comes to their money, when it comes to their needs. He says right here, the location of your faith needs to be on Him. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. When it comes to your need, the financial need that you're in, the provision, the turmoil, the trial, the test. Where is your faith? Easy way to say this is, where's your belief? Well, one way to find that out is to ask you this question. To find out if your faith is in God. Well, right now, if you're in the middle of a test or trial, financially, pressing upon you all sides, can't pay your bills, job's not doing it, you don't have anything, you know, in savings, bills are piled high, the calculator's not lining up. Are you stressed out? Are you anxious? Are you wringing your hands? Are you talking wrong? Are you discouraged? Are you hopeless? What would your reaction be tonight if every bit of income that you had coming into you right now, every stream of income in the natural was cut off? If the hose was shut off and there was no more, what would your reaction be? Would your reaction be despair? Would your reaction be, what am I going to do? Would your reaction be worried? Would you be up all night going over and playing ping pong in your mind back and forth? What am I going to do? If that's the case, your faith's not in God. I'm going to explain what I mean. What do you do if an unexpected bill comes in the mail? Or an unexpected expense happens. Something breaks down. Something happens. Something that you didn't plan for, that you don't have the money for, that you can't pay naturally. When that happens, what's your reaction? Whether it's right now or what would it be? Or what has it been in the past? If it's despair, discouragement, worry, fear, anxiety, what am I going to do? Hopelessness. Your faith is in the wrong place. You have faith. You have belief. How many of you know you can believe wrong just as much as you can believe right? You know, faith comes by hearing. It didn't say that just good faith comes by hearing. All belief comes by hearing. You tell a child over and over again, they're no good, they're worthless, they're morons, they're dumb, they're stupid. That's wrong things into them, hearing the wrong things, but they will believe that they're dumb, that they're stupid, that they're worthless. That's belief, but the wrong kind of belief. But it's still belief. And people, if they get into discouragement, despair, and hopelessness financially, they have faith. They're believing something, but their faith is in the wrong place. What are they believing? Not going to make it. Maybe their faith was in that bank account. Maybe their faith was in that job. Maybe their faith was in their checkbook. Maybe their faith was in that source of income. Come on. I'm trying to help you tonight. Go with me to Philippians 4:19. Praise His name forevermore. And you know what? If you're not in a financial test and trial, you know, when you're in boot camp, you're not in a war. You know, a lot of times people misunderstand church. And if they're not going through it right at the time, they have a tendency to tune it out. No. In boot camp, you don't tune out your instructor when they're teaching you how to shoot the gun or to navigate through some things or how to work the equipment, because what do I need this for? There's nobody shooting back at me. It's not for the right now. It's for when they're shooting back at you. You know what to do. And this will set you up in the right place, because I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it's amazing how quick storms can arise in your life. I mean, you're going about just doing your thing, and out of nowhere, everything's turned in a different direction. A physical thing, a financial thing, a thing at your job, thing in your business. It's amazing. Well, that's because there's a devil. But if we're doing things right, praise God, we're equipped and we'll handle it right, and we'll have the right response. Notice Jesus didn't say to them on the water, guys, this is a bad storm. I do get that. And also the element of surprise, gotcha. And I understand why you're in doubt. No, He expected them in the element of surprise out of a risen storm that was out of nowhere. Listen, you don't set out on the water with a terrible storm. That's not wisdom. Jesus was smart. It was beautiful that day. They got out of the water. They're happy. Go lucky. We're going to the other side with Jesus. Then bam. Wake up one day. Man, things are going good. Then by lunchtime, bam. Right? It happens to all of us. Hallelujah. We got to be ready, praise God. This is getting us ready. But the Word says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, this is a promise to you. When this promise becomes a reality to you, you know when this promise becomes real to you? When needs don't trouble you anymore. Why would they trouble you? That's your answer. Because God said in this verse, that need that you have, that you can't provide for, that you don't have the supply for, that need that you're looking at that's causing you to stay awake all night, I already got that. If you'll have faith in me. My God shall supply all your needs. Now, first of all, I want you to see this. Some of you need to take this verse for about a week and just meditate on it. Talk it out. Go word for word. My God shall supply. Who are we supposed to have faith in? God. My God shall supply. That means it's coming from Him. That means if you don't have it, it doesn't matter. It's not to come from you. But I don't have it in my paycheck. That doesn't matter. But I don't have it in my bank account. That doesn't matter. My God will supply it. Now look what He says. all your need, the big needs, the little needs, the unexpected needs, the impossible needs. He said, they're all, I'll supply them all. If you had a revelation about this, when you had a need you couldn't provide for, you'd shout and rejoice because it doesn't matter. But most people don't. Why? Because their faith is not in the one who has the ability and told you, I'll do it. It's just true. You're making me yell. Don't make me yell. Oh man, I can yell with the best of them. Praise God. Now look at this. My God shall supply all your need. Now here it is. He says, I'm going to do this according to something. Now if he said the next part of this verse, according to what you make every week or every month, then when you don't have enough from what you make every week or every month or however you get paid, if that's how he meets your needs, then yes, you should be worried. Then what you don't make doesn't meet your needs if that's how he was going to do it. He didn't say according to that which a family member left an inheritance to you. That which is in your bank account. That which is in your wallet or your purse. That which is in your sock drawer. No. He says, I will meet all your needs, not according to your paycheck, not according to your Social Security. I love what Dr. Dufresne used to say. He'd say, people would say all the time, I'm on a fixed income. And what they meant was, you know, they get Social Security and they get I know a little bit about this because handling my dad's finances with him having a stroke and being a power of attorney, I know what that means. A set amount every single month. And he'd say, you know, no chance for overtime, no chance for bonuses, fixed income. And naturally, that's true. And people would say, I'm on a fixed income. And Dr. Dufresne would say, who fixed it? The only one that's fixing it is your mouth. As if God is limited by your fixed Social Security amount. As if God is limited by your hourly wage. But see, when you put your faith in that Social Security, when you put your faith in that paycheck, then yes, God is limited by that paycheck. It's true. According to your faith, be it done unto you. And many people, this is what I'm talking about, many people, when it comes to bills that they can't pay, they get worried and nervous because their paycheck or their bank account does not meet those needs, and because that's where their location of their faith has been, they're troubled. But our location of our faith needs to shift from people, from a paycheck, from a salary, from a Social Security, from a savings account, from the sock drawer, to God. Because when it shifts to God, it takes care of all the impossibilities. Because he said, I don't need your paycheck. Now, I'll get to something in a second. He might use your paycheck. He might use people. He might use the sock drawer to meet your needs. He might use something that you have that you can maybe sell or whatever. He might use those things, but he's not limited to those things. But the location of people's faith are in those things all the time. I told you the story about the guy on Saturday night. I don't think I shared this Sunday morning. That called me. I was talking about how if you're going to call me with a problem, don't expect me to weep and wail with you. I'll be compassionate with you and love you and be touched with what you're going through, but I'm also going to give you a faith pep talk. And the person called me and said, oh my gosh, it was a monthly check for their retirement. Something had happened and it had been slashed like almost in half, some paperwork. It was their pension is what it was. And it was slashed, and the first thing out of their mouth was, I'm so worried about this. And I said, well, that's the wrong response. We need to change that real fast. That's not the receiving mode. But you know why he was like that? Because that's where his faith lied. That's where his faith lied. In that paycheck, in that pension. But why would our faith, the Bible doesn't tell us to have faith in our paycheck. I showed you what he said to have faith in. Have faith in God. And the one that you're supposed to have faith in told you, I'll meet those needs, regardless if your paycheck can or can't. I'll do that. I mean, it just seems simple to me. Why believe a piece of paper with some numbers when the God of the universe says, yeah, I'll do that? And I have riches and glory. All the cattle and the gold and all His, the Bible says. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's so good. And so our focus, why you need to meditate on this verse when you're going through something or even before you go through something, is when that need shows up at your doorstep. You don't have to consult with the calculator. You don't have to consult with the paycheck. You don't have to consult with what you do or don't have saved up. All you need to know is consult with the one that has everything, who has all ability, all power. Nothing's too hard for Him. Nothing's impossible for Him. Because your response matters when the test comes. When the test comes, out the time to start getting faith. Now, if you're not in faith, get into faith during the test. But I would rather be ready when it shows up than taking a few licks before I start fighting back. My God will supply. My God will supply. My God will supply. Praise God. When I was told by Jesus to quit my job and to start a church in the fall of 2010, and you all know it put me in a financial trial, one that I have not been in since. $2,000 personally short every month. Well, at first, I'm running the numbers, and that number is just standing out to me. It was $1,200 of bills that came through the mail. We didn't know it would be $2,000 a month, but as we kept track over the 2 years that we were in that position, it averaged right around $2,000 a month with the bills that came in the mail, things needed for the new baby, which was Caleb, groceries, gas, unexpected things that averaged about $2,000 a month. Sometimes it was more, sometimes it was less. But I kept seeing those numbers, and it troubled me. And at first, my response when Pastor Michael pointed to the Bible and walked away, and the verse said, when I sent you out with nothing, and I knew I wasn't getting a salary. What'd Pastor Mike, first thing you do? Run out to apply for a third shift job. Didn't consult with God or anything. Why? My faith wasn't in Him. Just telling you the truth. My faith was in what I had. What can I do? And the Lord specifically told me, don't you get a third shift job. It'll hurt the church. So I couldn't do that. I don't know what to do, you know. And my pastor told me, he said, you'll not be an echo in the body of Christ. You will. Basically, he threw me in the deep end. He said, sink or swim. He said, but I'm not going to have a pastor. He said, I will ruin you if I give you a salary. I'm not going to have a pastor who's an echo that's preaching someone else's revelations. You're going to learn faith this way like you've never learned it before. And you're going to preach it for years. And I've been preaching it for 9 years. And I'll preach it for nine more until something bigger comes along. But my point was, I was scared. Why was Courtney's reaction tears? Not because she was in faith. I'm not down on her. I just got done telling you. We weren't in faith. We weren't at that place. Because her Lord told her to keep working, and she was making good money for what she was doing, you know, but it still left us $2,000 short every month, and our faith was in those paychecks. And when that paycheck went away, went bye-bye, so did my faith. Well, I found out real fast where my faith was in. Oh, people find out real fast where their faith really is in when their pay is cut, when their job's gone. When their paycheck can't pay what they need, they find out, oh my gosh, my faith was in that paycheck the whole time. Because when your faith's in God, it doesn't trouble you. You just don't get troubled. You don't get troubled. You know, I could truly say, you know, I've not arrived, but man, I'm farther along than I am now than I was. And when the church was told that we needed that sprinkler system, it was going to be $100,000, I honestly could tell you it didn't trouble me. I mean, I didn't lose a wink of sleep over it. Just wasn't troubled, wasn't nervous at all. Just fine. Lord, what do you want me to do about this? Believe for the money, believe that we don't have to do it. Regardless, I don't care. I didn't call myself to build this church anyways. You did. You have to take care of this. They came to Brother Hagin when he was building the Rhema campus years ago, and they said to him, the banks are going to shut this down. We're $2 million in debt. I've not been there. Have you been there? I've not been there. And they're nervous. The staff's nervous. And the people around them are nervous. And Brother Hagin shocked him with his response, because they made him aware of what the banks were saying. He said, I don't care. Shut it down. I didn't call myself to do this anyways. It doesn't matter to me if we shut it down or not. That's what he said. They brought Smith Wigglesworth a stack of bills. The secretary brought him a stack of bills. He's outside walking. All nervous and worried because the bills did not, what they had in their account could not pay for those bills. You know what Smith Wigglesworth did? He grabbed them, threw them up in the air and walked away and said, those aren't my problem, they're God's. Now, of course, somebody'd have to pick those up and pay those, but what he was saying was, you're not going to trouble me with that. I'm worried about that. Remember the lady's response? Hundreds of thousands of dollars in student loan debt. What was Pastor Mike's response? What's your point? Your faith's in the wrong thing. God will supply all your needs. All your needs mean that when a huge impossible need comes in, that's still just an all your need. That's all it is. Alls and alls and alls and all. Praise God. Now go with me to James chapter 1 and verse 17. So finally I got into faith and I tell the story. I didn't care. Think about that now. 2 straight years of no salary. This is not an exaggeration. 2 years we went with 1 salary. Every time a new month would come, the same bills would come in. The same gas would be needed, the same expenses for Caleb, the same groceries, everything. It always was the same. Every time we had no hope, nobody giving us money, none of that going on, and had to believe God for money every single time. But you might think, well, that's so... wow, that's so amazing. It's not that amazing when you think about how big God is and you think about $2,000 compared to God. We got to stop thinking that $2,000 a month, short a month, is even that big of a deal. It's really not. In the light of Him, if we're going to say that hundreds of thousands of dollars is, what's your point? What's your point when you're $100 short? Who cares? It's God. See, we see things from a wrong perspective, looking through the wrong binoculars, looking through the wrong telescope. Got to see it through His eyes, praise God. James chapter 1, so I got into faith and got excited about it. Didn't matter to me. Oh, my transmission broke my vehicle? Okay. Oh, this is needed, this unexpected thing? Okay. God already said He'd do it. I remember one time I was really in faith, you know, and court brought a bill to me. It was unexpected, came in the mail, something that had got mixed up. Man, they had backlogged us and they were after some money that we didn't have. And what are we going to do about this? And I said, we're going to act like God's real. And we're going to act like the Bible's real. And this is what I literally did. I got down on my knees in my living room, my old house, 160 Park Street in Jamestown. I held that bill up in front of God and I waved it to Him. I said, you see this? I said, you said you'd meet all my needs. I don't have the money for this. Do you see this? I thank you. You're faithful to do what you said you do. And unexpected money came in. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Yeah, but you were a pastor. No, actually I wasn't. And for those that have that thought, you think the Word works for me more than it worked for you? There are congregation members in the body of Christ that are knocking it so far out of the park more than their shepherds are. It shouldn't be that way. I mean, the shepherd is in the Word all the time. The shepherd should be in prayer all the time. The shepherd should be out in front leading. Y'all shouldn't surpass me spiritually. What I mean by that, I'm not saying it in a pride way. This is my job to be in this book and to be in the Word. I should be leading you and having you. You shouldn't be surpassing me and me trying to catch you. That's out of order. But I'm telling you, in the body of Christ, we think, well, the pastors, no. There's people that just are faithful to come to church, use faith, and clean toilets are going to have more rewards in heaven than people that have big ministries with lots of people. And that's true because it comes down to faithfulness. It doesn't come down to titles. I'm just telling you the truth. Hey, man, I'm just telling you the truth. And if you think, well, Pastor Mike, this will work for you. No, you're deceived from the devil. The Word works for anybody. When a Syrophoenician woman, you study the culture, she probably came out of a lot of sin. In fact, one of the reasons probably that her daughter was grievously vexed to the devil is probably because of some open doors the devil got in there. A woman like that, what'd she do? Work the Word, got it. There are many scholars and dignified people around that didn't get anything, but she did. You work the word, you'll get some. Amen. Amen. James 1:17 says this, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What that means, no variableness, no shadow of turning, is God doesn't change. There's no changing in Him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, why I'm telling you this, because this plays into where our faith, the location of our faith needs to be. The location of our faith needs to be in the unchanging one, in the stable one, in the steady one. Why? Because when our faith is in that which is changeable, when that which changes, changes, or that which can change, changes, we're in trouble if that's where our faith is at. See, God uses avenues and God uses things on this earth or tools to bring your supply. Could be people, could be a job, could be a business, could be an unexpected blessing. God uses these things, but God's not limited by one avenue. And you got to be careful to not put your faith in an avenue. We don't put our faiths in avenues. Avenues can change. We don't put our faith in jobs. Jobs can change. We don't put our faith in investments. Investments can change. We don't put our faith in people. People can change. I remember there was a faithful couple in South Dayton, very faithful in the beginning. And this is not, this, nobody told them to do this. They had this on their heart. Every single month, they would give us $200, sowing into our lives, personally, sowing into our lives. Give us $200. Well, I remember one day having to give myself a pep talk because I started to rest on expecting, because it was so, it was month after month, not expecting like, you better give it to me, but just, you know, subconsciously, it was almost like it was an extra bonus every month that you knew it was coming in. And when you're in a time of need, you start to calculate, well, okay, if I'm really this much short, well, I can minus that $2,000, start to put faith in that avenue. And then started to get into worry, well, what happens if they stop? Well, then I located myself. I found out where my faith was. My faith was in them. Who gives a rip if they stop? Who cares? And they did stop. And who cares if they did? Didn't matter. It would have mattered in my faith. We don't put our faith in avenues. Go to 1 Kings 17. I want to show you something. 1 Kings chapter 17. Avenues change. My God will supply all your needs, not according to your paycheck. When your needs aren't, when your faith is not in your paycheck, it doesn't matter when your paycheck ends. It's so peaceful to not have to worry about the economy. To not have to be stressed over the gas prices when they go up at certain times. Or your heating bill, they're raising the natural gas. It's so wonderful to know my faith's in God and He already said I got it all provided for. 1 Kings. Where in the world are you? 1 Kings chapter 17. I want to show you the avenues change. You better not have your faith in the avenue because avenues change. And Elisha, who was in the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God liveth, by whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now remember, he prophesied there's going to be a famine in the land, no rain, a drought, I should say, which would lead to famine. There's going to be a drought, 1 Kings 17. And he says, according to my word. Now, when we know what happens after that, Jezebel, they sent out the search party for Elisha because they think Elijah is the one that's making it not rain. No, Elijah's just prophesying what God is saying, that it's not going to rain. But they look at the man and take it out on the man. What many people do in the seats, they give you dirty looks when you say things like, I didn't write this stuff, he did. Take it up with him. You don't like tithing? Talk to him. You don't like forgiveness or walking in love or being holy or being faithful or whatever he says in the word? Don't blame me. Take it up with him. Well, they weren't taking it up with God. They were taking it up with the man that it came through. And so he was on the run. He had to go because... And the word of the Lord said to him, verse 2, said to him, get thee and turn eastward and hide yourself. So he wasn't just going out of fear. God was telling him, it's time to hide. Yeah. Amen. He said, get thee eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith that is before the Lord. Why? They have a search party for him. He's a wanted man. I mean, the army is after him. And it shall be, notice this, that you... So now think about this. God first tells him to do something. He says, go hide by the brook. I'm very logical in my thinking at times. That's a problem sometimes. Analytical. That can be a problem with God. Because God does things that don't make sense. You know who the people that I find that are the hardest ones to get the word into? The most naturally intelligent ones. I've found, not always, but I've found there are ones that sometimes are really hard because you can't. God is the God of that makes no sense. None of this makes sense. A guy died on the cross who was perfect. That doesn't make sense. You can't figure that out in your natural mind. It's received by the heart. Amen. But my first thought would have been the brook where there's no restaurants, where there's no grocery stores, where there's no shelter for me to live in. Father, remember when I asked the Lord? Lord, can you read? He told me to apply for a job. That the job right in the paper said I didn't have the requirements for it. And he told me to do it. I said, Lord, can't you read? I didn't know. Maybe he didn't learn. He must not have learned how to read because he was telling me to apply for a job that I didn't have the qualifications for. But how many know? He can read. Go to the brook, Elijah. That would have been my first thought. But see, Elijah was a man who had faith in God. Not the grocery stores. Not the natural ways of life. And so, and it shall be, said, that you shall drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. What? The birds? Or is there a bunch of people named ravens? I mean, what are you talking about here, Lord? Ravens are going to bring me food? I mean, first of all, to even go there shows you where his faith was in. Because most people would have said, no, I'm clinging to this. I'll hide here where I can go get food and supply and shelter. I'm staying here. No, he had faith in God. He said, I've commanded the ravens to feed them. Now think about this. He's on the run. He's in a place that's completely safe. Nobody's got him. Nobody's overtaken him. He's drinking. He's eating. He's well provided for, apparently. How many of you know, in that situation, you'd be tempted to start getting comfortable there? Oh, I like this. I know I'm in danger, but the birds are bringing me food. I'm drinking of the brook. And look what the Bible says in verse 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went to dwell by the brook Cherith before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came on him, saying, arise and go to Zarephath. What are you saying? The avenue, or the supply, or the tool that I used to bless you in this season of life is no longer. It's getting shut off. Now, if his faith would have been in that brook, his faith would have been in those ravens, his faith would have been in that location, he'd have been in trouble. I'm not going anywhere, Lord. If I go somewhere, I might be seen. If I go somewhere, I don't know what. I know what's been here. I know what's been good here. He'd have been in trouble had he not listened. But his faith wasn't in the brook. His faith wasn't in the ravens. His faith wasn't in that location. His faith was in God. So when that thing stopped, when that job stopped, that paycheck stopped, that location stopped, that blessing stopped, that avenue ceased to exist, it didn't matter. Why? His faith's in God. Rise, get to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. Again, if he doesn't have his faith in God, he's looking at God cross-eyed. A widow woman. Well, that means she has no husband. Back then, you know, husbands were the breadwinners. No such thing as any other way in that society, in that culture. You know, they don't have land. He's not working the land. She's already, we know she doesn't have very much, most likely. And you want me to go there? And then he goes there, right? We don't need to read the story, and finds out she's only got one meal left. From her perspective, not God's perspective, right? And again, he could have thought, what in the world are you trying to do to me, Lord? But his faith wasn't in that woman. His faith wasn't in what she had. His faith was in God. And what? He did what God said, and what she had multiplied. See, when you have faith in God, That's when the avenue is opened up, or the pipeline, and then the grace and the mercy flows through. Which, what's in that grace and mercy? Multiplication, unexpected blessings, favor, supernatural stuff. Amen. If he'd have looked at her and said, "You have one meal and you need that for you and your son, I guess I'm going somewhere else," that miracle never happens. But because of his faith in God, the grace flowed, the miracle happened, the multiplication happened, and he and she and the son ate for many days, the Bible said. Amen. Praise God. See, God doesn't change. Avenues change. You need to ask yourself right now, is my faith in my job? Is my faith in my paycheck? Is my faith in a person that if I got into big trouble, I could go to them? See, I've had to get myself in a pep talk that my faith for the church's finances cannot be in the people. People are fickle. People are greedy at times. I don't believe we're in the midst of any of those people here tonight, but I just know how it works. It's amazing how much money is really in the church, but yet really the church doesn't really see the money. I'm just telling you the truth. You find that a lot of times when needs arise and you make a push for them. Well, for example, the parking lot in South Dayton. We needed $30,000 for that parking lot, and almost $60,000 came in. Well, that $60,000 was in the church the whole time. It was in the church the whole time. But a lot of times people are unwilling to part with it. And so my faith can't be in people. My faith has to be in God, that God's going to get it. Now, it will come through people, but some people are stubborn. It takes a little longer. Where's your faith tonight for your finances? Yeah, your job's a tool, and that's okay, but that's not where your faith needs to be. If that tool goes out the window, what's your response? That'll tell you where your faith is. Amen. I'm trying to help you. Because you have to be in faith. We learned that Saturday and Sunday, that without faith, there's no flow from heaven. Remember we said from Saturday and Sunday, I said, no longer am I going to spend a second in doubt and unbelief. Because when I get into 1 second of doubt and unbelief, that's like taking a cork and plugging the hole. And the flow stops. And when I get back into faith, the flow starts. Praise God. You know, when we started, after 2 years, we paid off $60,000 worth of debt in that time. It wasn't just like we skipped by. We actually got ahead. And I started, after 2 years, started getting a little bit of money, which someday I should probably teach on, to let people know. You know, people that live by the preach the gospel should live by the gospel. It's biblical that I make a living doing this. Amen? Just so you know, it's in the Word. If you want to see me after, we can talk about this and show you some scriptures. But I started to finally get paid a little bit of money. And we had paid off debt. So when you pay off debt, you know, maybe you had a payment that was on a debt for $250 a month. When that's gone, then that frees up $250 a month. And so that subtracts from that $2,000. And so that was happening. We didn't get to completely zero with that. We were still believing God every month for the lack that we had, because I wasn't getting paid very much. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, now it's time for Courtney to quit her job, to come home and stay with Caleb. He was 2 years old. And you are to pastor the church full time. It's the next step. Oh, you talk about being comfortable with the ravens bringing you. I saw her paycheck. She's the smart one of this pair. She's got the degree. She went to school. She graduated. She got a job in her field as the early care and education director of the YWCA, and reached the top of what she could in her field for her degree, and was making the money, a good job, insurance, money, all this coming in. And now the Lord says, it's time for that to go bye-bye. Oh, so I call that my junior huge financial test. Because now I'm making a little bit of money. We've paid off debt. She's still making her money. We're still not at zero every month, but we're not at 2,000 anymore. But now take away her paycheck. We didn't go back to 2,000, but we went back to a lot. I don't remember the exact amount. If I remember right, it was somewhere around. Now we're back again to like $800 to $1,200 every month short again. It's like, really? Really? Putting something in me, though. Well, I know I heard the voice of God. She knew it was the Lord. Went to a meeting at Fredonia talking about being in the right place at the right time in your visitation. And my pastor ministered to me. So that which the Lord has spoken to you, it is of Him and it is of the utmost to your benefit to obey that. And I knew it without Him saying that. But it was the help I needed in that big... It was a big anchor for that time because it's like, here we're starting to kind of catch up and now it's like going backwards. But here's what's interesting. I'll give you some details in a second. We did obey God, and naturally it did seem like you're here, and it seemed like it put us way back. It did. It only put me way back. When I pull my bow back, the deer's that way, but I'm going this way. The more I pull that bow back, when I release it, the farther and the faster that arrow is going to go. He wasn't pulling me back to pull me and set me back. He was pulling me back to catapult me forward. And when she quit her job, we obeyed God. And I'll tell how hard it was in a second, naturally. The financial blessings that came to me in the next 6 months, I remember Pastor Tim Stallman's wife, Pastor Katie, texted me. And she said, Pastor Mike, look at what's come in your life since you guys obeyed, because she knew when you obeyed and Court quit her job. And she rattled off the blessings that supernaturally came to me. And I was like, there's no natural way this can happen. But with God, He's not natural. You've experienced the same God that I have. And He's the same today as He was yesterday. Well, she resigned from her job in the spring of 2000 and whatever year it was. I can't remember what it was. And I'm just about a month away from getting insurance. And she resigns from her job and she's making all the money and we're paying off debt like crazy. And my appendix explodes and I didn't know it for 3 days. The poison went through my body, went through the hospital, almost died, you know, and well, I didn't have any insurance. And the bill came out, it was between $30,000 and $40,000 that I owed now. I'm at least like we're going back and back. And now let me tell you the temptation to tell her, go pull that resignation. You're not resigning yet. We have more debt to pay off now. And that temptation was there. But you know what? Over that 2 year period of $2,000 short a month, my faith had grown and grown and grown and grown. And so when God told us to quit, we did it. Why? Because our faith was there. And when the temptation was to come about $30,000 or $40,000, the $30,000 or $40,000 didn't trip me up anymore. Why? My faith was not in that lack of money that we had. My faith was now in Him. And it got paid off. Praise God. It did. It got paid off. Super. I could tell you all different types of stories. But my point is, if our faith would have been in the paycheck, we'd have been in trouble. Do you know that a lot of people won't obey God? Because their faith's in their what they have in their money. Oh, can I meddle for a second? I'm going to anyways. Might as well just agree and be agreeable. So we don't have to do this song and dance of getting past your grumpiness. Don't make it hard for me to preach now. The tithe. God told Elijah, do some hard things naturally. God told Abraham, do some hard things naturally. But we see the result of those hard things that they naturally did. God wasn't trying to hurt them. God blessed them big time for obeying Him. The opposite, the other side of that obedience was major blessing. We can see that all through the Word, right? We've talked about that before. The tithe can seem like such a hard thing for people. 10% of your income. The gross, not the net. Wow, you made the gross. You didn't see the gross, but you made the gross. I don't say that very often, but it's a conviction I have in my heart. Why? I made the gross. I didn't take home the gross, but I made it. I still made it. They say on my paycheck, that's what I made. If I made it, that's my increase. Lord, you're getting the gross. You're getting the highest and the best. Yeah, amen. Amen. You take it up with Jesus. I'm not going to check your pay stubs anyway. I don't care. It's between you and the Lord. But people will hold on to that which is holy. Even though God says, I'll open things for you, I'll pour things out, I'll rebuke the devourer, your vine won't cast its fruit before the time of the field, all nations of earth will call you blessed, all these things, and people will hold on to it. Why? Because their bills tell them one thing, their budget tells them one thing, and they'll say, I can't afford to tithe. Why? Their faith's in their money, not their God. And they disobey God. They stop tithing. They stop tithing. I'm speaking to someone specific. I don't know if they're in this building or if they're listening by live stream now or in the future, but I'm telling you by the Holy Ghost why. I'm not saying that I'm not talking about somebody that's never tithed. I'm talking about somebody by the Holy Ghost right now that why would you stop tithing? You've stopped tithing. It's the worst decision financially you could ever make. You've been deceived and hoodwinked. You've been in the church too long. You know better, but you've stopped. I don't know who that's for. I can't even say it's from someone in here, but it's for somebody's ears specifically. You stopped and you don't understand how deceived you are. And you've stopped because your faith's not in God. People will take jobs and things in their life because their faith is in the almighty dollar and the paycheck, and they'll take jobs and things that will completely take them out of their feeding. And they're sporadically in church. And then people will say, well, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to work. No, you're supposed to obey God. That's what you're supposed to do. If you put yourself in a position where you've got to disobey God, that's not my problem or God's problem. That woman said, hey man, I got one meal left. What do you want me to do? He said, I want you to obey God and make me something. That's what he told you to do. Abraham, leave my family and go to a land unknown. What do you want? What do you expect me to do? I expect you to obey me, Abraham. Bring my son. How am I going to talk to my wife about this? Up on the mountain and kill him? What do you expect me to do, God? I expect you to obey what I say, Abraham. Yep. Not going to take it back. Not doing it. I said it. But it's true. People bend with me and heard it, and you tithe at one point, but that's what happened. Situations and circumstances changed in your life and started talking you out of it. Yeah, it won't get any better for you. Yep. Won't get any better for you. Praise God. This is the true story. I had somebody tell me, Pastor Mike, I will not believe for my healing. I said, oh, because they were talking about the thing in their body. I said, let's believe God for that to be taken care of. It tormented them. I won't do it, Pastor Mike. Well, what do you mean you won't do it? If I get healed, my disability check goes out the door. Wow. Well, they weren't trying to use the system or take advantage of the system, but their faith was in that disability check. As if the God that would heal your body would then make you be poor. See how deceived they are? But where was their faith? Not in Him. They're going to live with a sickness because their faith is so much, the location of their faith is in that disability check. It's a true story. I said, you got to get your thinking straightened out. God wants you healed and God wants you blessed. It's not one or the other. Amen. Yeah, but if I choose my healing, I can't have my prosperity. Lies. Yeah, right. Yeah. Lies. Oh, I remember you gave me permission to meddle. Yeah. I'm not done meddling. You know why people in the body of Christ go around and tell everybody their plight and make sure to make everybody aware of what they don't have and how they're struggling? You know why they do that? Because their faith's not in God. And they want everybody and their brother to know what they're going through because they want a handout. They want to play upon the emotions upon... I was going through that test in 2 years. Never stood up in front of church and said a word about it. Never looked like I was sad. Never looked like I was down. You'd have thought I had just as much $1 million if I was $1 million in debt. You wouldn't have known it. My faith's not in people. I don't need to go around telling everybody what my problems are. I don't need to go around telling everybody I need this, I need that. Now, I'm not saying we don't help one another. Don't misunderstand me. But there are people that they're not in faith. They are in worry and fear, and they go around and they make sure to tell everybody, I can't do this. I don't have enough for this. I don't have enough for that. You're just locating yourself where your faith is. Because somebody that has, I was going to point to Philippians 4:18. People that have, that verse is long gone. We've been past that for a long time. I don't know why I'm still thinking that one's up there. But in my brain, it's still up there, you know. And they're just showing their faith's not in God because, what do we say? You're never desperate. When you know your needs are met, all your needs are met by Him. That's the answer to everything. But I don't have, but He does. Praise God. Hallelujah. A couple minutes, we're done here. Go with me to Genesis 22. I want to help your faith now going forward. Genesis 22. I want to show you who your God is. Genesis 22. You know, one of the tools that God does use, remember the Bible says in Luke 6:38, given will be given unto you, good measure pressed on shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. It comes through the hands of men a lot of times. If you'll put your faith in Him, you don't have to go around looking for handouts. He'll get it to you. It got so fun to see how He was going to... That was one of the reasons the new month got so fun, because I was like, what's He going to do this month? My job's not to figure out where the avenue is, how it's going to happen. My job is to have faith in Him and then just sit back and watch. And it got so fun every month to see, what avenue are you going to use this month? I told you about the time that we're in full faith, and she comes home from work and she says, you got to come out to the trunk and help me bring this stuff in. Well, again, she's the early care education director at the YWCA. She's working with young kids in a daycare type center and an after school type program, and she's working with the staff. And some program, for some unknown reason to my brain, came into the YWCA and did something. I don't know if it was based on hygiene or what it was, but they brought samples with them. And she, as the director, they left them there, was for them to give out to the staff members, anybody that wanted them. Not one person, which is Abby, my daughter, if anything's free, she wants it. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. There's a piece of, like, you get those fake credit cards in the mail, or like, I want that, Dad. I want that. I mean, right through it, Dad, I want that. She just wants everything. And so usually, and we're talking about people that worked for her, that they're not making a ton of money. At the daycare, they just weren't making, you know, she's only paying what they allow her to pay them. They're not making a ton of money. They don't have huge salaries. And so, these things that I'm going to tell you about in a second, it's 20-some staff members, more, maybe even more, I don't even know how many that were there that she was in charge of, would want, somebody would say, yeah, I'll take some of that. Not one person said, I'll take some of that. Well, what was it? I opened the trunk, and you know what I see? A 3-year supply of the exact toothpaste we use, of the exact soap that we use. You're not fully clean unless zestfully clean. There it was. Bars and bars of zest. That's what I use. 3-year supply of the shampoo. 3-year supply of, I don't know much about this, but feminine products that she uses. I'm telling you the truth. Gathered all this up, I had to get a garbage bag, bring it inside. I brought it inside and I dumped it on the living room floor. And this is what happened. I literally laid on my back and made snow angels, praising God in it. What is that called? Supernatural provision. Why would nobody want any of that stuff? She offered it to anybody. It's all there. Whoever wants us, take it. She goes, she's getting ready to leave at the end of the night, and nobody's taking anything. We'll take it. See, God is a waymaker. And that's what got so fun every month, was like, what way are you going to make this month? Because last month you did X, Y, and Z, and that was hilarious. What are you going to do this month, Lord? Not running to family members, oh Lord, or running to stand in front of the church and saying, it's really been tough, you know, you need to take up an offering for your pastor. No, you'll never hear that from me. My faith's not in you. I'm thankful for when you bless me, and God might use you to supply for me and help me, just like we use it for one another. But my faith's not in you. And your faith shouldn't be in each other. And your faith shouldn't be in your paycheck. And your faith shouldn't be in me. Your faith should be in God. What a fun way to live. And we'll close with this. Genesis 22. So this is, well, for time's sake, we'll save. This is when God told Abraham, take your son up on the mountain, sacrifice him. And we'll pick it up on in verse 7. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham, his father. Now, I feel like the way my brain works, you could make one heck of a stand-up comedy routine based on this story. I mean, just based on Isaac's point of view alone. Where are we going, Dad? Hey, son, carry the wood for me. We're going to have a burnt sacrifice. And you get up there and you start making the altar. You know, just, I mean, you could really, if you really thought about this, really come with a good stand-up routine. I mean, can you imagine what he must have been thinking? Hey, son, just lay up there. What in the world is going on? This is how my brain works. But that's, Abraham said, Isaac spoke unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father, he said, here I am. So he said, behold, I see the fire and I see the wood. Where's the lamb? I'd be asking that too. And I love what Abraham said. You know why Abraham could bring his son and slay him on an altar? Because remember what God already said to him. He said, through your son Isaac, the blessings will flow. So he knows, Abraham already knows, God's already given me a word on this. He said, well, did God already give me a word on it? Yeah, Philippians 4:19, which means whatever scary thing shows up in your face, it doesn't matter. He already gave you a word on it. Who cares if it doesn't meet your needs or you can't pay for it with your own? It doesn't matter. You're not based on your own. You're based on Him. So he knows, if I kill you, son, God's got to raise you from the dead. But look where his faith was. Abraham said, my son, God will provide. Amen. What's his faith in? God. Yeah. It looks scary. Looks like there's no way. Looks like it's hopeless. Bills are stacked in the ceiling. Your truck payment, your house payment, your rent, this and that. You can't pay it. Your paycheck's too small. You have no paycheck. Things are shut. But it doesn't matter because God will provide. Amen. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went together. They came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar, verse 9, and laid his wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. Can you imagine? My goodness. The faith. The faith. And Abraham stretched forth his hand. We can't even get people to give God a measly 10%. Because they're so worried, so attached. And he takes his son and says, I trust you enough. Laid his wood in order, bound his Isaac's son, laid him on the altar. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He was doing it. He was doing it. And the angel of the Lord, verse 11, called him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. He said, lay not a hand upon the lad, neither do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, and you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him there was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. I mean, that was the best barbecue Isaac's ever been to. Because he thought he was going to be the barbecue. You know what I mean, right? I mean, that was his favorite barbecue he's ever been to. And Abraham called the name. Now this is what I want you to see. Verse 14, this is what you need to meditate on. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. It is said unto that day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now that's a little bit blind to us, but go to the Amplified, Kim Lai, if you would. Jehovah Jireh. What does that word mean? Jehovah means the Lord God. What does Jireh mean? So Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah, the Lord. Jireh will provide. The Lord will provide. One of God's covenant Hebrew names that declare who He is and show us who He is, one of His names that describe exactly who He is Jehovah Jireh. Who? The God that provides. Now that's the Old Testament version of that. You know what the New Testament version of? Let's finish where we started. Philippians 4:19. The Old Testament version is that, Jehovah Jireh, but He's the same God in the New Testament. But my God shall supply. Or what can you say? My God shall provide. Right? My God will provide. Why will He provide? Because He is the Lord that provides. He can't help it. I can't help but not be able to reach the top cupboard in my house because I am short. Right? He can't help but provide because that's who He is. He can't get away from it. That's who He is. That's who He's always going to be. And if you'll put your faith in Him, nothing that comes in your across your desk or across your path or across your finances will trouble you anymore. No matter how desperate it looks. It was so desperate for Abraham, but he said, the Lord will provide. God will do it. I don't know what you're facing tonight. What's impossible. What looks like it's never going to change. But I'm here to tell you, God's not going to change. And He'll provide for you if you'll give Him the avenue. Amen? So how do you give Him that avenue? You go over and meditate on this over and over. The Lord that provides. He'll provide all my needs. And your faith will grow. Praise God. Now let me ask you a question as I close my Bible. Was it worth coming tonight? Amen. Are you different? Do you think maybe in the trial you're in now or one that's going to show up at your doorstep, you might remember this? And it might do something for you that the person that never heard this is going to be, what in the world do I do? You know what to do. Praise God. I think we should just worship Him right now. Father, we worship You. Worship Him with me. Let's praise the Jehovah Jireh. The God that provides. The God that provides. The God that provides. The God that provides. Oh, that's good, Lord. Not only do You meet our needs financially, but You meet our needs physically. You meet our needs emotionally. Yeah, You do. Yeah, You'll meet my needs in this ministry, Lord. Oh, yeah, not just financially. I know it. Whatever I need, there's some things I need, Lord. Yeah, and You know what they are, Lord. Yeah, You'll meet them. Why? Because You're the God that provides. You can't help it. You can't help it. You're the need meter. Praise God. And He'll meet your needs too. Because He's faithful and He loves you. Let's just thank Him for meeting our needs right now. We thank You for meeting our needs. We thank You for meeting our needs. We might not know how, but that's not our problem. We might not know when, but that's not our problem. We might not know where it's going to come from, but that's not our problem. We know, Lord, that You're the provider. You're going to do it. You're going to part the sea. You're going to turn the furnace down. You're going to quench the mouth of lions. You're going to slay the giants for us. Glory to God. You're the way maker. We thank You for providing for us. Increase comes. Increase comes to us in Jesus' name. Praise God. We worship You tonight. And we thank You, Lord. If You met our need in our darkest hour, which was the need of salvation, how much more will You meet our financial needs? We thank You, Father. We praise You. We glorify You. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Before you go out of here, don't forget, if you did want some deer meat, that you signed up for it, or let me know, I have it for you. And if you're someone that said, I didn't, but I would like some, just give me a chance to get back in the woods. We're getting them on the run, praise God. But we'd love to bless you. So let's stand to our feet and give Him praise one more time. Let's just thank Him before we go. Father, we love You. We glorify You. We're so grateful. We're changed. We're different. Thank You for the Word tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Praise
together.
God.
So let's do that tonight. As we continue to worship Him, let's come together and bless Him.
For He is great and mighty.
He is ready.